It's not gonna hold. Yeah. I will. I'll move over. I'm moving house. Hey, well, it's a pleasure to be here. I understand. I have never been in this building before, and I didn't know anybody that I would know here. I thought Michaela might be here because I think she's one who dropped my name about showing up. I know my son has been here, Austin. So my name is Ashley Milne. I come from a long line of Ashleys. I am the fourth Ashley. And please, I know what you're thinking. Isn't Ashley a girl's name? Yes, I've heard that for the last 30 years, but... No, my dad is Ashley. I'm Jonathan Ashley. I was talking to Andrew at the door. Apparently, all the Scott boys, they all go by their middle names as well. So that's what I grew up, exactly the same, all our middle names. I have been married for 30 years, happily married for 30 years, just celebrated in June our 30th anniversary, decided, because all my kids are getting into relationships, so I thought, we should go on a cruise while I can afford it. So that's what we did. We went on an Alaska cruise in May, celebrating our 30th anniversary. And I am so sorry my wife is not here today. We have a busy, busy home. And my wife has been sick for the last 3 or 4 days. I have not kissed my wife in the last 3 or 4 days. Kind of an interesting day today. I have a son, 26, got engaged a couple of months ago. So he's engaged, going to get married next year. My middle daughter, Janelle, who is a lot like me in personality, and we laugh at the same silly things, she's 25. She was at YWAM last year and decided she's going to go again to YWAM. So she leaves on Wednesday. And she said to my wife and I, you know what I miss most? I miss Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner. Could we do Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner before I go? So guess what we're doing tonight? We're having Thanksgiving / Christmas dinner with a bunch of her girlfriends. And my dad is showing up and a few others. So there's 17 of us going to celebrate Thanksgiving tonight. And with that and my wife being under the weather and getting turkey dinner together, just a little bit much. So I was not surprised when at 7:30 this morning, or I guess it was before that, more like 6:45 this morning, I said, honey, are you gonna get up and go to church? I don't think so. Yeah. So I said, I didn't think you would. So anyway, and my youngest son, he's 21. It's funny when you show up, and I think I'd know anybody, and I was talking to Paul, I was talking to Andrew, and people know me, or my son, or my reputation. Are you a Milne? I had that twice since I walked in here. Are you a Milne? Yeah. Very nice to feel at home. I went to a village men's retreat, must have been in March, April, I don't know, but... And everyone I talk to, funny, you're just a little bit separated from people. And, oh, do you know so-and-so? And it's amazing, the Christian community. We all sort of know each other. So, pleasure to be here today. We are in Judges, and I guess we got a lot to get through here. So, we finished at 12. Is that the time, Andrew? Or what time do you finish at? 12-ish. I like the ish. Okay, we'll try to be around 12. Okay. So open our Bibles to Judges, because it's a long read. It takes me, I'm a slow reader. It takes me 25 minutes just to read through this chapter. So I'm going to get going here, and we'll read the passage, and then we'll pray over it, and we'll get into it and see where we end up. Judges chapter 6. 7 years of oppression, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because the Midianites and the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, the caves, and the strongholds. And so it was that when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. Till thou come to Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep or ox or ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass that the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. And the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thou saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth from the house of bondage. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of the oppressed, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in those in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord that sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And the son and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The Lord looked upon him and said, Go this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes and an ephah of flour. And the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out to him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Verse 21, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes. And there arose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace. Did I skip a part there? And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto you. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Jebusites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with wood in the grove that thou shalt cut down. And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down, and it was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said to one another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired, they asked, and they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood by, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for Baal, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, they called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down the altar. Verse 33, Then all the Midianites and Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel.
But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messages throughout all of Manasseh, who also had gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I put a fleece of wood on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then I shall know thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed out the dew of the fleece into a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once, that the fleece, let it be dry only upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Let's pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the time this morning in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we open scripture now and we've read the passage, Father, we pray that your Spirit would convict us, would lead us, would guide us through it. Father, pray that as the Spirit speaks to every one of us, Father, we pray that we would make adjustments in our life. We think of how Scripture talks about Scripture, the word of your word being like a mirror. And Father, we look in that mirror and we see ourselves, the sinful selves that we are. And Father, we just pray now that your Spirit would take hold in our lives. Father, that we would be seeking your will, not ours. We just ask for help today as we go through this passage. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Judges chapter 6. It starts off, it says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. I remember quite a few years ago, I think I was speaking on Josiah, King Josiah. And I started off, I think it's in Kings, and I started off by saying, I would read a passage, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. And I flipped over the next one. And the children of Israel, and every passage was, and children of Israel did evil in the sight. And finally you get to King Joash, and King Joash did good in the sight of the Lord. There's a lot more evil that's prevalent in our world. And in this chapter, we're only in chapter 6, and we've already read this 5 times. The children of Israel did evil. A couple of times it says, evil again in the sight of the Lord. I like my uncle, he's my great uncle, he told me, Ashley, he's Irish. But when you read through scripture, he goes, make the divisions. So that's what I always start with. You make the division. So here's what I wrote. Cycles of disobedience. And we've all been there. We've all been in that cycle of disobedience where we know we're doing the wrong thing. And maybe we've been doing it so wrong, we've forgotten the right. Maybe the Spirit of God is, we blanked it out so much that we can't even hear the voice of God in our lives. Such is so when we continue down that path. And here is, this is the 5th time that you read in only the 6th chapter that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Let me come to verse 2 very quickly. It talks about the oppression of the enemy. It was Midian for 7 years. And I like at the end of verse 2, it was the only thing I had written in my Bible. I used to always, you know, type out the notes, and I thought it's way better to put it in your Bible because I enjoy it over and over again, you know. And somebody had pointed out in verse 2, you have that they had these dens which were made in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. And I had this note that I really enjoyed. Have the Midianites prevailed in your mountains, caves, and strongholds? See, we have enemies. I remember preaching one time, and I said, I think what I need in my life is a good enemy. Yeah, just push me the right way. And I remember afterwards, because that's what I see in David. You know, he always seemed to do the right thing. Well, he didn't always do the right thing, but with his enemies. You know, he's always honorable towards Saul, who's trying to kill him. Even his own son, Absalom, is trying to, and he's always, how's the boy? How's the lad? He's always just thinking of, I just like that about him. And here we have the mountains, the caves, and the strongholds. The mountains. When you have a den in the mountain, you can see for miles. You can, you know, you go up to Amble, a reference that a lot of us know here. You go up to Amble, I've never been to the peak. Don't judge me, Mark. I have not been to the peak, but I have been to the white spot up there. And you get a pretty good, I know your cell service works really well up there. And you get a pretty good view, and you can see boats coming and going. That's the idea of the mountain. You can see the enemy as they come up. You're watching them getting closer. Do we watch the enemy? The enemy, whoever the enemy is, encroach, get closer. Looking down over, they're starting to climb up the mountains. How about the caves? My mind immediately goes to David in 1 Samuel 22. The first verse you read is about David hiding in caves. And I think it's two chapters later, 24, you read about the cave of Adullam. He spent a lot of time in caves. That's where he was in the cave hiding from Saul, who goes into the cave to relieve himself. There he is hiding from the enemy inside the caves. There was a time probably to hide from enemies. See the enemy. Hide from the enemy. And of course, here we have the strongholds is the third one. The time to dig in and fight those strongholds. So I wonder how much we've given over to the enemy. I didn't finish my story. I said what we need is I need a good enemy in my life. One of the elders said afterwards, I don't know what Ashley's talking about. The world, the flesh, and the devil, never mind death, the final enemy. I have enough enemies as it is. And I thought, yeah, well spoken. We have enough enemies. But watching them come into the land. And here we have, they encamped, verse 4, they encamped against them and destroyed increase of the earth. So all the crops destroyed, they would just come in. It's not like they went on, they would take them, boom, for themselves. All that work that they had put into planting, cultivating, gone. No sheep, ox, or ass. All the livestock gone. At the end of verse 5, in the middle of verse 5, it said they were outnumbered. They're like grasshoppers. Couldn't even number them. And what does it say there? At the end of verse 5, you had their motivation. Entered into the land to destroy it. Get rid of these Israelites. Oh yeah, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that. And it says verse 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and they cried unto the Lord. When do you cry out to the Lord? When things are so bad, you're desperate for help. You know, we had people over at our house. Our house is like a train station. People are just constantly coming through, kind of always over. And this couple had come over to tell us they were going to have a baby. Oh, congratulations. That's great. Life. Start a life. Oh, that's great. I'm really happy for you guys. They had left 5 minutes, and I got a call. Yeah, Jordan and I were just talking about it. I got a call from my old friend, Tony. She's a girl. Here's what she says. Ashley, Kevin has died. Can you come over? And so I said to my family, my wife at the top of the stairs, I go, I just got a call from Tony. Kevin's died. gasp. And I said, I'm going to go over to Tony. We all went, except for my wife. Yeah, my wife stayed at home. You got to think my wife doesn't go anywhere. We all went over to Tony's at about 11 o'clock at night, and we were standing out in her front lawn. And listen to her wail. Her husband had MS. Passed away. And there she is crying out to the Lord in her desperate times. That was probably the worst I've seen her. Happy to tell you. She came over. They had the funeral last Saturday, memorial, I guess it was. She was particularly bright, particularly upbeat, I thought. And she says to me, "Ashley, I know that on Monday night, this past Monday, it's going to kick in. I'm around people. My sister's here. You're here. Lots of support." That night that I got that phone call, we were sitting on the lawn of her house at 11 o'clock at night, and the grief worker, I don't know what you call it, grief worker comes, and within 10 minutes, she says, "Oh, yeah, I've never seen such a support in such a short amount of time." And Tony goes, "I only made one phone call to me." And then there was about a dozen of us showed up. Support. Crying out to the Lord. But here we have impoverished. Just this oppression. I don't know if you felt that in your life. You know, we live in Canada. We have lots of freedoms. I was telling somebody downstairs about my son's fiance. Her name is Fatima, and she's born in Iran. She wore a burqa for the first 9 years, 10 years of her life. And her father became a Christian. Something that does not go over very well in Iran. He was in an underground church. He's the only Christian, not his wife or his daughter. And became a Christian, got infiltrated by the government, and he had to get out or die. We have no idea what goes on in some of these other countries. The oppression of the enemy. By the way, his name is Darius, King Darius. No, he's not a king. Darius, he walked for 3 weeks to Turkey and then brought his family over, his wife and his daughter over about 9 months later. And they became a Christian. They became Christians in Turkey. Now they're going on for the Lord. And now she's marrying my son sometime next year. Crying out to the Lord. Leaving your family behind, walking for 3 weeks to another country, looking for freedom. Israelites couldn't escape it. The oppression, constant. What does it say in verse 8? I want to make the emphasis here. In the middle of verse 8, "I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth to the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand that oppressed you, and drave them out before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice." You know, I didn't mention this, but two things. My daughter is deaf. Now, if you've met my daughter, you wouldn't know she's deaf. She wears a cochlear implant, lets her hear things. But when she takes that off, when she goes swimming, it's off. And you could yell at her. I've taken videos of her fast asleep, and yelling at her, nothing. She doesn't hear a thing. And then you thump, and she feels the vibrations, and wakes up. I've tested ears for 36 years. She was 13 years old. I was doing it 13 years before she came along. And I just want to say, I've heard every hearing joke there is. You know, my wife says, yeah, I know. I've heard it all. But here's what the Lord God says. They obeyed not my voice. I always point out there's a difference between listening and hearing. They're different things. Listening. I ask you, are you listening for the voice of God in your life? You know, that still small voice. You know, like in where 2 Kings 19, where the wind came, but God wasn't in the wind, and the earthquake came, and God wasn't in the earthquake, and then the fire, it wasn't in the wind, and it was in a still, small whisper. There's something about that I just love. You know, we're so busy, we fill our time, we fill our senses, Facebook, iPhone, you know, we're just, boom, it's the first thing that I often pick up in the morning, checking my messages. Listening to that still, small voice. The other thing that comes to mind is 1 Samuel 5:22. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. This is what God says about listening and obedience. How do we show that we love God? How? Obedience. Much like as a child towards my father. Yeah, dad says to do something, I go, absolutely, I'll do it. I might be even grumbling when I do it, but obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice, and hearken than the feet of rams. You know, my daughter has a bit of an excuse because she doesn't hear very well. Even with the cochlear implant, crowded room, downstairs, she is in trouble. She reads lips a lot. It's funny, a guy came over to our house. We have a Bible study every Tuesday at our house. We get about 30 to 40 young people. They're all in their 20s. I like this guy called Jonathan, real nice guy. He says, I thought Janelle was totally into me because she was hanging on my every word. And then somebody says she's deaf. And I realized she was reading my lips. I go, yeah, she was reading your lips. You're not that interesting. Yeah. She's hanging. She has trouble in crowded rooms, and she's always looking at the lips of people, and she's pretty good. She can read from across the room what they're saying. It's like having your own personal spy. Hearkening, listening to the voice of God. I challenge you, are you listening? Is God trying to get your attention? Is God trying to tell you to do this or go there? Or maybe it's a sin in your life, whatever it is. And believe me, I got a big mirror right here talking to myself, first of all, before any of you. Anyway, we get to Gideon. Boy, I got to move here. Okay. Let's go down to Gideon. First of all, the name, I looked it up. What was the name Gideon mean? Destroyer. Destroyer. Mighty warrior. You know, my brother had a cat. He still has the cat. It's this big, fat glob now. But I said, what's the name of your cat? He goes, Cooper Fitzgerald, Destroyer of Worlds is the cat's name. And so I should just say, just call him Gideon. Yeah, although I think it's a girl. But anyway, there we have the call of Gideon. His name means destroyer, mighty warrior. And isn't it funny? That's exactly how the Lord talks to him in verse 12. Says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor, which is kind of ironic because there he is in the verse before that he's threshing wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Doesn't sound like very much like a man of valor or a mighty warrior. I remember years ago, an elder in our assembly, he said, I don't believe in an old earth. I believe in a young earth because I can't picture God creating the world and waiting around billions of years. And I said, I think you're off. I said, God is outside of time. He sees the beginning, the middle, and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's looking at the whole thing. We different dimension. We think time because we're passing through it. God is outside of time. He can, like a time lord, if you will. So I just have that as you think of now it makes sense when he says mighty man of valor. I don't think somebody, one of the commentaries said that, oh, the Lord's, that's a sense of humor. I don't think it is. I think it's the Lord seeing who Gideon is going to turn into. He can see right down the, Gideon doesn't even know it yet. Although he does have the word destroyer in his word, in his name, that's what it means. But he's not even aware. He's hiding from the Midianites. Mighty man of valor. And listen, it's the Lord is with thee. But Gideon replies, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen? Where are all these miracles our father told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. I'm just making the emphasis on us. It was said, the Lord is with thee. And he's talking about us. We're all these miracles. And the big one is, Lord has forsaken us. And I know that's not true. I know that if anybody's going to stray in my faith, it's going to be me. It's going to be me that wanders. The Lord hath forsaken us. I wonder, how often do we blame God? I had a friend of mine from many years ago. I was a young man, probably not even 25, probably 23, that sort of range. And this guy was a bit older than me, but we had a good relationship. And anyway, my friend, he got into an affair, I guess. An emotional affair. I don't want you to think it was physical. He's written letters to an 18-year-old girl. Got caught. And he says to me, after this is all blowing up, in the middle of this all blowing up, he goes, I don't know why the Lord is putting me through this trial. And I thought, I do. It's not the Lord. You're putting yourself through. It's funny how we can almost blame the Lord. And I almost get the same impression here. The Lord has forsaken us. I go, the Lord has not forsaken. We have forsaken the Lord. Go down to verse 14. And he said, the Lord said, this is the command. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. But he said to the Lord, look, my family is poor, and I am the least in my father's house. Sounds very similar to exactly what David said and what Saul said. Well, you're going to be king. Oh, me? I'm the least. You know, this humility thing. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And Gideon said what we all said. Okay, show me a sign. Show me a sign. And so Gideon made ready the kid, verse 19, and unleavened bread, and he brought it. And verse 21, the angel of the Lord put forth the staff, touched it, and it burst into fire upon the rock. And then then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. It was at that moment he realized, this is an angel. And I'm not going to get into, you know, whether it's a pre-incarnate, you know, version of the Lord Jesus. I'm just going to say, I notice it says the angel quite often, and Gideon refers to an angel. Not going to get into it, but there we are. And verse 22, when he perceived it was an angel of the Lord, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord had just commissioned him. And Gideon is saying, I'm going to die because I just saw an angel of the Lord. And right away, I don't know if it's a voice, but fear not, thou shalt not die. Yeah, like, there's a lot of fear in this man, Gideon. He is not the destroyer he will become. And he built up the altar there and called it Jehovah Shalom. God is peace. And then God, the Lord, I should say, commissions him again to throw down, verse 25, the altar of Baal. Now, altars, it's interesting. I can say false gods are idols. Do we have them? I think we do. When we replace things like a playoff game with a Wednesday night Bible, so remember when the Canucks, I don't know how long ago, it's 2010, when they were at the Stanley Cup final, and it's a Wednesday night, it's the final game. Oh, I got Bible study. I'm going to the Bible study. I think if I decided to stay home or go to a friend's house and watch the game, it would be pretty obvious that I have an idol. And I can rationalize it. My brain only happens once. It's only last time was 14 years previous. You know, I'm sure the Lord understands. I'm sure he does. But for me, I felt conviction to be there. And I was there. I know both sides. On Wednesday night, during Stanley Cup finals, I had never seen the place so full. Quite honestly, I was surprised. And then we heard just at the end of the Bible study, the riot in downtown, all the way it usually goes. Our gods, our idols. We even have a show called American Idols. Don't tell me we don't have idols. We might not bow down and pray to them, but boy, we sure do praise them. We have idols in our life. And that's the first thing that is done here. Idols, He commands them, knock the idols down of his father. Verse 27. But he feared his father's household, so he would could not do it by day. He would do it at night. More fear from Gideon for this warrior. He's scared of everything. And the men of the city come out. And I love this father. I it's interesting. Joash, who's got this idol knocked down. In verse 31, he says, "Will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? Will you plead for him? Let him be put to death while he's mourning. Just die. If you're going to plead, if your God is so weak, just die." He will plead for himself because one has cast down his altar. And of course, he gets a name change there. We read name changes in the Bible quite often. Jerubbaal, that is, let Baal plead against himself. Will he contend? Will he fight against Baal? That's what it means. So the Baal fighter. Verse down, skip down to verse 34. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Here's the first time you read this. We read early that the Lord is with you. And here, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. It's a phrase that you often read in the Old Testament. And he called all these men. Verse 36, we're going to end with what some might criticize as, again, fear or doubt. I'm not sure if I would totally word it that way. He put out the fleece, and he put the fleece on, let it be dry, and then he flipped it around. Oh, let the fleece be dry and everything around it wet. And it finishes off by saying, and God did it so that it was exactly that. God did his part. And I can't help but think Proverbs 3 and 6. I went to a Christian school, and I remember on the letterhead of the Christian school, that's what they had. Proverbs 3 and 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I think that's what he's doing here. Acknowledging the Lord. Have you ever put out a fleece? Maybe not physically, but that sort of, hey, Lord, if I remember when I was dating my wife, and I was really, really getting serious about her, and I was, oh boy, Lord, show me, give me a sign. I need a sign. I need to get some fleece and put it out. Lord, I just make it real obvious. If this is not supposed to happen, Lord, make it obvious, please. What was I doing? Acknowledging him. The thing is, God wants to be acknowledged in all our ways. Not just the big decisions. We think of God as the big decisions. That's a good time to come in. Yeah, those are important. But it doesn't say, in all your big decisions, acknowledge him and he will direct you. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, I was going to do my intro and I meant to talk about, I went for 26 years in West Richmond Gospel Hall. For 26 years, I was with Newton Christian Assembly. Love them dearly. And just in the last year, I've moved over to a new church plant called Citadel. And this is a different church. It's not the Brethren roots that I'm used to. But I'm the old man there. My wife and I, we're the old couple there. We just pour it. It feels like a Corinthian church. It's just, there's all kinds of issues and problems because they're all like 90% young people. They're under 30, and we have all those young people problems that you can imagine that creep up. Today, I'm wearing a suit. See, this is my first time showing up. I didn't know if it was a suit and tie sort of church or what, so I figured I'd show up so I can always ditch the suit or tie if I have to, if I want to. But I showed up, and I guess I look like a preacher, for crying out loud. And there I was. I helped set up, and I was just leaving the church this morning. A guy pulls up, and he goes, what church are you from? See, I look like a preacher, right? I go, I'm from Citadel. He goes, I was here a couple of weeks ago. I go, yeah, there's three churches, actually. We meet in a theater. There's three churches that meet in there. So you, and your citadel? He goes, yeah, I was one. I won't say which one. I was one a couple of weeks ago. They were too loud. He goes. I come from Brethren roots. And I'm like, I'm from the Gospel Halls. He looked at me sort of funny. He goes, from Edmonton. I go, well, come on. Where are you going? You going to come this morning? He goes, well, actually, I'm on my way to Walmart. I'm like, I'm going to pray for you. That was our interaction. I said, this was meant to happen. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It's amazing what the Lord throws in your lap. Just acknowledging the Lord. I said to him, this was meant to happen. We'll see you again as I walk and drive over here to you folks. So that's what I just sort of throw your way. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Pray that has been some help as we've gone through the word. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we give thanks for the opportunity here to preach, to point to the word, to point to Jesus, as I'm often saying. That's all. We just point to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we pray that we don't just acknowledge you in the big decisions, the marriages, the buying that home, buying the right car, whatever it is. But Father, we pray that we would acknowledge you in all our ways. And Father, as we get that direction from you, your spirit speaking into us. Father, as you look at Gideon, we see there's a lot of fear. We see fear, fear, fear. Fear at his father's household. Thought he was going to die because he'd seen an angel. Feared the enemy as they were taking all his crops and he's threshing wheat. Father, we pray that we would not live in fear, but Father, we would fear the one true God. And Father, we just would ask your blessing on what has been talked about this morning. We pray that it would take hold in our lives. And Lord, we know that as long as we are still above ground, our ending is not written. And Father, maybe you see the beginning, the end, the middle. You see the whole thing. And Father, maybe many of us here we're supposed to be here. And really, Father, you have great plans for us that we're unaware of. Father, pray that we would live lives like that and that we would continue to acknowledge you. We give thanks for our time here this morning and your blessing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I just say one more thing before I go? Just a little thing about the missions breakfast. It's October 14th. I'm the guy in charge this year. I guess they couldn't find anybody else. So I've been promoting. I'm trying to get, here's my thinking. A lot of older people tend to go to the missionary breakfast because you can't get young people out of bed on a Saturday morning. So I said, let's aim it at young people. I'm doing my best to say, but if you're old like me, feel free to come along too. We love you in the Lord. My thinking is young people are the ones that go on these missions trips. You'll actually hear from my daughter. She's actually not even going to be there because she's leaving on Wednesday, but we've got a video of her in Vietnam signing to the Vietnamese and translating into English. But it's just amazing. You know, the Lord can take your handicap and make it into something positive. So just leave you with that. We have 6 people lined up. Lloyd Opal is one of them, 2. My daughter's one. And if you can make it, that would be great. Thank you.